We had Alek Manoah on at 4:25 today. It was cool to catch up with him, and he's a confident guy, young guy, feels good about where he's at. Told us about taking advantage of the pandemic that he and his brother could keep training. Like, no professional innings thrown. He didn't face a live batter last year, and he's still up here. He barely got any experience at the majors or in pro ball in general, yet he's here and he's playing a part. He's got a real opportunity to do some quality things here with the Jays. And they got a tough 13-game stretch coming up here. Houston at the White Sox, the Yankees, the Red Sox. It's about as tough as it gets. And here he is from MLB.com. He's down in Buffalo. Yes, he made the trip, got across the border.
I want to ask him. Bring him in here, and I got a question for
him. Okay, here is Keegan Mathison. Go ahead.
Keegan, can you describe your mental state going in your car from Dunedin to Buffalo? I mean, that's not exactly the Pacific Coast Highway right there. Where were you at during that drive?
You know what, guys? Thankfully, I went from Toronto to Buffalo. Otherwise, okay. Otherwise, I'd be coming to you from a much darker mental place.
Because didn't you drive down to Dunedin? I think you documented that, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. That was in a past life. I think that was several seasons ago, but I guess that was this spring training. It's been a strange one, guys. But thankfully, I was coming from Toronto, where I was stuck in my condo covering the scene from the couch. So not exactly coming from the beaches to downtown Buffalo, which, you know, a realtor would describe as a charming place with character, but it's been a good change.
Yeah, it's a bit of a downgrade, but I guess life is kind of normal down there, right? Like, what's the vibe like at the park? And they've made their upgrades, and there's people in the stands, 7,000-8,000 people in the stands, and it's obviously not a major league atmosphere, but it's a lot better than playing in front of nobody, I would assume.
A lot better, and especially if you are the Blue Jays, these are fans cheering for you. Instead of in Dunedin, you have a lot of fans looking for the Yankees, Phillies, or a lot of fans just trying to catch a ball game. So the last couple of nights, guys, there's been, 5,500, 6,000 fans here. But, you know, these are good Buffalo fans, so the beer sales are flowing. It's a loud crowd. They are passionate. And after a long time of not hearing fans, sounds a little closer to that 20 or 30. So it's a real change, especially when you look down the left field line from where I'm sitting here behind home plate. That's the fully vaccinated section where you do not need to distance. So people are jammed in right against one another. It's making me sweat a little bit, but it's an encouraging look into the future, I hope.
Yeah, it's kind of like a smoking or non-restaurant. You know, like the vaccinated, they're doing their thing, and then like one row over, you have to be distanced. It's like, what's the point?
Hey, put your mask on, pal.
Yeah, go fire up a, you know, smoking or non, and it's one table's difference. But I guess it's all good and it's healthier that way. But hey, listen, I'm sure they're happy to be up there. Outside of the Yankees, I don't think they'll really have too many challengers. You know, Red Sox fans, they'll travel a little bit. Maybe if they play someone in the Midwest, like if they play Cleveland. Something along those lines. But I think for the most part, like you said, Keegan, they should feel pretty good about 80-90% fandom on their side down in Buffalo.
Yeah, and that's something the players mention a lot, guys. And it's, you know, I have not played in front of crowds of that size. I don't know how to measure it. I don't know how to quantify this, put a number or a baseball stat on it. But it's something every player is bringing up unprompted. And Charlie Montoya as well, the coaches, what a difference that makes. Because if you are already playing in Dunedin, Florida's nice. You know, it can beat Toronto at some points during April and May for sure for these players lifestyle-wise. But when you are showing up to the ballpark, it's not that full. It's a single-A stadium. The walls aren't that high, so the ball is blowing around like you're back down in single-A again. Nothing about it feels major league. And especially when you are getting heckled by those 900 or 1,000 fans where all of a sudden there's not a roar to drown out the dumb guy in the first row and you have to hear everything he's saying. It doesn't feel major league. So getting here to Buffalo, I know this certainly is not the Sky Dome by any means, but much more realistic, and it's a step towards something more normal, something more representative of that.
We're chatting with Keegan Mathison of MLB.com. He's down in Buffalo covering the Jays, and Houston is in town for three. Then they go to the South Side for three. Then they're at Fenway for four. And then they're home to the Yankees for three. That's a 13-game stretch that is probably as tough as it gets in the American League. If we're being realistic here, do you think if you could get Charlie Montoya in a candid moment, do you think he would sign off on 6-7 right now, 7-6, Like, how greedy would he get if you propositioned him, I can give you a 500 record or just above, I can give you 7-6 right now for the next 13 games. Do you think he would take it?
I think you'd have to, honestly, coming through this stretch where the Blue Jays are at and still without George Springer. We'll see when or if that timeline is updated whatsoever soon. But when you're dealing with the injuries they have, when you are dealing with this lineup without George Springer, and naturally along the way, guys like Vladdy, guys like Semien, they will have a bit of a cold streak eventually, naturally. But you know, at the same time, maybe that's a bit of old thinking. That's a bit of 2020 thinking, maybe even from me. You know, this Blue Jays team is still winning. They should be competing in this division, and now these are the games they need to win. You know, coming up against Houston, those Yankees games are going to be big, and I think this really highlights, guys, the fact that there's no such thing as early anymore. I know they're playing 162 games, but writing off games as being early is a little more difficult to do when you are chasing not just the Yankees, but the Red Sox, the Rays in the American League East. It's games like this and stretches like this, and when we're talking in late September, looking at standings, breaking down 2.5, 3.5 back, stretches like this are going to matter just as much. So it's a key one, even though we're only in June.
Without question, and the light at the end of the tunnel is you've got 12 games after that where 7 of them are against Baltimore. And you got Miami in there, you got Seattle. I mean, those are bottom-feeding teams, Baltimore in particular, who the Jays have still not played, which is pretty incredible. I think that's a good sign that they're going to have a bunch of ball games against that team, but they're going to have to pounce and take advantage. And you mentioned Springer, and obviously when he was signed, everyone knew where he was gonna hit in the lineup. He was going to lead off. And even in spring when he got injured, it was like it's still his spot. And then Semien starts the year in the leadoff spot, didn't work out well. They move him around. He starts to catch fire, and now they've moved him up again. And 1-2-3, they've got arguably the hottest and best, you know, 1-3 in baseball right now. If Springer were to hypothetically return tonight, do you think he steps right back into the leadoff role, or might they ease him in a little bit further down the lineup?
It's a difficult decision, and it's the most interesting one the team's facing right now, I think. I think that leadoff spot still makes a ton of sense for him because he is a guy who's going to take a lot of his walks. Semien right now is playing amazing. He's playing like a top 10 player in Major League Baseball right now, period. That's where he's ranked in terms of WAR. Had a massive May OPS up near where Vladdy's was in the month of May. But when you look at him, this is a lot contact-based, a lot of hitting-based getting on. So is that sustainable? We'll see. You know, he is as hot as he's been in his career right now, but if you're talking about stacking up this lineup, guys, the idea of having Springer and Semien at the top with Vladdy behind, where do you put Bo? I guess a bit further down for now. But having those two with Vladdy coming right behind, man, you are going to start a lot of games up 1-0, 2-0 if you stack up those bats. And Springer, ideally, when he comes back, he is at 100%. Was that the case last time? Sure didn't look like it. But if he's coming back at 100%, I think you need him in those top two spots. Stack it up in front of Vladdy.
Have you seen any change in Vladdy with his performance getting a lot of recognition throughout the league? People are chanting MVP. Have you seen any difference in the athlete from being the up-and-comer kind of prospect to being like real deal Holyfield, like the guy in the team?
Zero, which is amazing. If I was 22 years old and people were chanting MVP, I would be showing up the next day with a gold chain that said MVP, strutting in, absolutely, alligator skin boots, everyone in town would know. But Vladdy is showing up every day, and no matter how hard I try to ask a question in a different way, he's focused on working hard, he's focused on his work, his routines, and that's good. You know, there's a lot of players who have you know, not been the flashiest quote, the most expressive off of the field, but you see him on the field when that personality does come out, and that's what makes him special. I think you're going to see that more on the field. It's not going to be when he's talking or giving money quotes. That's fine. But when you see him on the field, last year he lost a bit of that spice, a bit of that fire, I think, out on the field. Now you're seeing it come out. It's a whole lot easier when you are the best player in baseball to have fun out there. But he is really not a guy who I have noticed being around him. Let that go to his head. And I suppose it helps that, you know, when you have been one of the bigger names in baseball since you were a teenager, it's a little easier to adapt to this, but still impressive because that's a big spotlight for a guy that's, even I forget sometimes, is still just 22 years old.
with Keegan Mathieson. We had Alec Manoah on earlier this afternoon, and I mean, he seems like a guy who's pretty confident. I think we know that based on the way he performs, the way he shows up to the stadium, talking about looking the part. He can dress for the best of them. But he's had a great start at Yankee Stadium. On Wednesday night, it got away from him pretty quickly. And his next two starts in terms of where he's slated to go, at the White Sox, at the Red Sox, two of the best offenses in baseball. They're really throwing him into the fire here. And I think they look at their staff right now. They know what they're going to get out of Ryu. They like what they're going to get out of Robbie Ray. He's been a stud. Beyond that, it's still a crapshoot. Like, I don't know what you're getting out of Stripling, what you're going to get out of Matz. And obviously they're hoping Manoah leans more towards Ryu and Ray as opposed to the other two guys. But what do you expect we're going to be thinking and what we're going to be seeing out of Manoah over the next two starts if he pitches where he's supposed to and he goes through the south side of Chicago and Fenway Park and faces those two offenses?
Yeah, big couple starts coming up. I like that I'm bookending the show with Alec here. That's a big left tackle, right tackle offensive
yeah,
line.
It is.
We're building on the lineup here.
I love it.
But with Manoah coming up, man, you saw finally for the first time as a pro, and this guy was drafted in 19, the first time he ever failed or even stumbled, you're doing it in the big leagues. Now, if you stumble, if you screw up in single A, double A, okay, you can go out there and adjust against 19 and 20-year-olds, and you're probably better than them if you're Alec Manoah. Now you are looking at the best players in baseball. Different deal. So we're going to see how he bounces back. The confidence you guys know from talking to him, not an issue. That is there. That's never going to be an issue. But for him now, it will be trusting his pitches. I think we saw him the last outing in his last inning, guys. He shied away from that fastball. He was trying to get a little precise on the edges at points, and that's not who he is. He is a pitcher who is going to come out and punch the other team in the face and absolutely shove with aggressive pitching. And I think he'll get back to that. But you're right. He is the guy who represents upside in this pitching rotation because the Blue Jays still need another guy up in that number two, number three range. It was supposed to be Nate Pearson. That has not happened. And ideally, that might be Alec Manoah, but still a big ask for a guy who's not pitched a lot of innings. There will be some bumps along the way, but I think the aggression in his pitches, when his attitude and his pitching style match, that's when he's good. That last start, I think they drifted away from each other just a little bit.
Well, we'll find out soon. It's going to be a fun weekend down in Buffalo, and Houston's a quality team, as we know. Do you expect them to take heat from people in Buffalo? Like, they're taking it in most places. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Buffalo, they're not even technically in the league, but they're allowed to hate on Houston, right?
Yeah, I've never needed to have a relation for something to complain, so why not? You know,
yep.
I'm sure the good people of Buffalo will be some banging on some cans and having fun with that. But there's not exactly a relation, but a lot of baseball fans have been waiting their turn, and I'm sure some folks in Buffalo thought they wouldn't get theirs. So it'll be a loud one. And, you know, there's some Bills fans in the house, I'm sure, guys. So
oh, yeah.
That's
tables
my answer.
Are becoming
that's my answer.
I like it. We expect it. Good stuff, Keegan. We always appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon.
You got it, guys. Take care.
There he is, Keegan Mathieson of MLB.com, Jays reporter. He's down there in Buffalo.